Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher. My guest today is the Vietnamese poet, novelist, and journalist, Nguyen Phan Quy Mai. She has a new novel out titled The Mountains Sing, an epic and harrowing multi-generational story of a family in Vietnam, going both backwards and forwards in time from its center point in 1972. She's speaking to me from her home in Jakarta, Indonesia. Quy Mai, welcome to the program, and very powerful and at times painful to read book, but thank you for writing it.
Thank you so much, Grant, for having me on the show. It's a great honor to be speaking with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and thanks for making the time. So we'll get into the book itself in a few minutes, but first I wanted to ask you a couple questions about Vietnam and the United States. During the 20th century, Vietnam had a lot of internal conflicts, and it was also obviously the object of other nations' international conflicts, World War II, and then the French and the American involvement. But in the United States, for most Americans, our experience of Vietnam is all about what we experienced as the Vietnam War. How does that particular war fit into the broader Vietnamese story of its own history?
Actually, I started writing this book because I felt like there's a missing narrative from the Vietnamese perspective. You know, I was reading literature about Vietnam, and it's still dominated by American voices, you know, and I feel like, you know, there need to be more space for Vietnamese voices, because to be honest, we suffered more losses. More than 3 million Vietnamese died. So many still traumatized. You know, many people have not found their family members, still missing from the war. The impact of Agent Orange is tremendous. There are still the people that Vietnam has a very high rate of cancer because of Agent Orange, and still people still now die these days from unexploded ordinances. I mean, inside Vietnam, we have also been very interested to listen to the American experiences. You know, books written by Vietnam War veterans have been translated into Vietnamese. For example, Tim O'Brien's work. I myself translated, you know, the work of quite a few poets and novelists. So we are interested to learn about the American experiences. But I think, you know, there's always propaganda involved with any war, you know. So I was brought up to believe that American soldiers were, you know, cold-blooded killers, you know, who did not care about us as human beings, you know. And it took me quite a while to change my perceptions and to be open to read the American side of the, you know, of the war, you know. And I remember when I first went to the States, I had very mixed emotions about my first visit.
That's interesting. That really gets at another question that I wanted to ask, and you've anticipated it in a lot of ways, but in the United States in the last 45 years, we've been going through as a country, a political and a psychological processing of our involvement in Vietnam. And it's been a real challenge for us. It's involved a lot of pain and a lot of conflict. And like you just said, you know, the experience for us still reverberates too. It sounds like there's been similar kind of after effects in Vietnam then, of processing that and thinking about that through different sides, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know how the American society and American families have been divided by the war, just the way Vietnamese have been divided by that war, because it's a very complex war, and people had different beliefs why it had to take place, you know? So I have, you know, from the Vietnamese side, it's even more painful, because just like in the Mountains Sing, many families had members who fought opposite against each other. during the war, you know, brothers against brothers, sisters against sister, you know, because, you know, of events that divided our countries, you know, some family members were separated. So they ended up fighting against each other. So the issue of reconciliation is very difficult among the Vietnamese. I feel like Vietnam and the US have made tremendous progress, you know, Vietnamese, American veterans are welcome back to Vietnam. But there's still a lot of stigma, discrimination against those Vietnamese who fought alongside the Americans. Mm. So that's why when I wrote The Mountain Sing, I decided to put the Vietnamese issues on the center of the story. You know, even though it's set against the backdrop of the Vietnam War, I decided not to give any speaking role to the Americans because there have been so many books published about, you know, your involvement. So in English, you know, so that's why because in the US, you may have met Vietnamese who fled the country who have refused to come back. And the older generation even tell the younger generation not to go back. They forbid their children to go back. Mm. So, you know, it's still very, very painful. You know, and like, I remember when I traveled to the US for poetry reading, my father called me and he said, be careful with the Vietnamese in the US, you know, because they are seen by the government as, you know, anti-government, anti-communist. So my father said, be careful with whom you speak, you know, or you could get into trouble. You know, that's kind of, I mean, there's still a lot of fear within our community about whom we hang out with. And I remember I went to the States. I had, you know, I went to California and I was about to meet a Vietnamese American poet, and he's very well known inside within our community. And he, you know, when we met and we spoke for a while, he told me he got a phone call last night warning him about meeting me. Yeah, and it's like, you know, yeah, you know, it's very complicated among the Vietnamese.
You're listening to The Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with the Vietnamese poet and novelist Nguyen Phan Quy Mai, and we're discussing her new novel, The Mountains Sing. So I'm wondering whether even today there is something that is still taboo in your country to talk about. I mean, are the conversations now open, or are there still things that are still too sensitive for the Vietnamese to be talking about?
There's still many sensitive issues to be speaking about. You know, for example, people rarely speak about trauma because there's stigma inside Vietnam about PTSD and trauma. The traumatized is seen as possessed by ghosts. So, you know, people hesitate to share their trauma, and it's very difficult for healing. And because I did my PhD research on PTSD and trauma and its impact on human behaviors, and I saw a lot of traumatized behavior growing up in Vietnam. But I mean, I couldn't explain how it was. And, you know, like my parents could never talk to me about their experiences until I became a writer and I knew what questions to ask, because, you know, they were fearful they would pass on the pain to us. They wanted to protect the younger generation. So I have an uncle who doesn't want to tell me anything. And he told me it's better for you not to know. And I was like looking at the research on PTSD and trauma in the US, and I only found a very small research done on the Vietnamese population about the impact of the war on the population and the trauma. And also the official viewpoint is that we won the war, so there's no trauma. Oh, you see? Wow. Yeah. So that's why I felt the need to represent trauma in this book, because I feel, you know, this part of history has been erased, how the trauma is carried from one generation to the next. And I think Vietnam is like quite a few countries in the world that there's still censorship. So, you know, the government does not want to discuss about past mistakes, you know, for example, the land reform, which is the land reform is still a taboo subject. So there have been books recently written about this subject, but they were not allowed to publish in Vietnam. Or if one of the latest novels is called, which I love actually, and I would love it to be translated into English, is called Đất Mồ Côi by Tạ Duy Anh, The Orphaned Land. And it's about the land reform, but it's allowed to be published, but no media is allowed to talk about it.
Interesting. Yeah, that's fascinating about how you can and you can't talk about those things. And it's a perfect segue into your book, because I do want to spend the rest of the time talking about this very interesting book. You cover land reform, you cover a lot of trauma. But the first question I wanted to ask is, so you're a poet, but why did you want to write a novel about this? Why a novel?
This novel is the largest poem I have ever written. Mm. You know, my poetry has always carried a human story with it. I have written with my poetry about the street sellers of Vietnam, about the victims of the Great Hunger. And I felt like, you know, a short poem is just too small to capture the dimension of the impact of the historical events on the normal citizens of Vietnam. I'm not interested, about politics as such, but I want to honor the memories of those who told me their personal stories. This book is like a work, it is a work of fiction, but I have interviewed so many people and I felt compelled and I felt responsible somehow to write it. And, you know, it continues the oral story traditions of Vietnam. By having the grandmother to tell the granddaughter what happened to her family, and the granddaughter continues that tradition by writing down what happened to her and, you know, her family members. And in the end, she burned a copy of the manuscript to send to her grandma in heaven after the grandma had passed away. So it's the cycle of life. And, you know, internationally, international readers have known about Vietnam as a war. You know, if you go to library, you type Vietnam, you see so many Vietnam War titles. And my intention is to present a Vietnam that I know, the Vietnam rich in culture, heritage. You know, there are a lot of proverbs inside the book because we speak proverbs in our daily language, you know, and proverbs are oral poetry, which is passed down to one generation to the next.
You're listening to The Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Nguyen Phan Quy Mai, a Vietnamese poet, novelist, and journalist based in Jakarta, Indonesia. She has a new novel out that is just being issued in paperback titled The Mountains Sing. So I want to pick up, Quy Mai, on the point that you were making there before the break. I have read that right now, because of the taboos and the difficult topics and the censorship by the government, that it's really, in Vietnam, it's the novelists and it's the poets that have been kind of the keepers of history for Vietnam in recent decades, almost playing the role of the grandmother and the granddaughter in your book. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I mean, you know, throughout our history, the writers and the artists have played the role of the witnesses of history, you know. I wrote in The Mountain Sing, I wrote about the movement called Nhân Văn Giải Phẩm, where the writers, you know, they spoke about the freedom of speech during a, you know, many years ago, and they fought for that freedom through their work. And I think these days in Vietnam, I think I must say that we have made tremendous progress. For example, with the recent works that have been published in Vietnam about the land reform, about the difficult times during the 40s, where there were a lot of political parties that fought against each other to gain power. I've seen books and I thought, wow, it's amazing that they have been published. Mm. So, you know, we just got a new president of the Vietnam Writers Association. He's considered, you know, equal to a minister. His name is Nguyễn Quang Thiều, and he's fluent in English. And I hope to see a lot of reform ahead of us. And especially, he's also the president of the Vietnam Writers Association. So I'm always a hopeful person. And I hope we will continue to make progress. But the barrier pushers, those who break barriers, are writers and artists. Mm. Throughout our histories. And we work against censorship. I mean, even though there's censorship, but we have found ways around it with our art. Because with art, we can present the humanity side of the story, you know? We can present the human suffering with compassion. With this book, I'm calling for peace. I don't want to call for more conflict because mm-hmm. Vietnam has seen enough devastation and losses.
Now, you made a very interesting decision in writing this book. You decided to write it in English originally rather than Vietnamese. Why did you make that decision?
So I worked as a translator for quite a few years. The reason why I decided to become a translator is to introduced international readers to Vietnamese literature. There's a lack of translators in Vietnam. So I started off by translating a lot of poetry, and I even was involved in producing radio programs about Vietnamese poetry in English. And then I thought, you know, nowadays, not many people read poetry. So I wanted to present a story which is more accessible to the wider reader. And then one day I was like, okay, let me try and write something in English. So I quit my paid job and I stayed home and I applied for a scholarship to do a master, and I continued with my PhD, and I finished my Mountain Sing during my master, and I wrote it during my master and finished it during my PhD. I think it was necessary for me to do the PhD to be able to write that book, this book, because I look into representation issues of Vietnam, of literature in English about Vietnam. And I wanted to write against these representation issues. And I also, you know, studied about how to fictionalize PTSD and trauma in fiction, how to present PTSD and trauma in fiction, for example. These are some of my research areas.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is the writer Nguyễn Phan Quy Mai. So this book has been extremely favorably reviewed here in the United States. It's already been put on best book lists by the New York Times, the Washington Post, USA Today, and Oprah Magazine. Congratulations on making it for Oprah. What reaction has the book generated inside Vietnam? Has it generated a lot of reaction there?
So I have been, I have been amazed with the reaction. Actually, recently I had a book club with a group of younger readers from Vietnam who picked the book as their book club read. And they told me they did not know about their grandparents' experiences. After reading this book, they could ask questions and they found out so many amazing things. So, you know, there's nowadays, you know, younger people inside Vietnam are starting to read English. For example, the work of Viet Thanh Nguyen, the sympathizer, has been translated into Vietnamese, but it's not allowed to be published there yet. So there, people have to read in English to be able to access his voice and the voices of so many diasporic Vietnamese writers, you know. So you know, I have received media requests, but in the beginning I said, you know, when the book is published in Vietnamese, I'll answer interviews. And these journalists, they, those who could read English, they went on, they did research and they wrote their own articles about it, which is quite amazing. So I think there's a strong interest, you know, in my book, and I've had, you know, publishers who asked me to translate it into Vietnamese for them. So I have, you know, so I'm working on my second novel now, and I think once I have finished that novel, which is in English, I may translate The Mountain Sing into Vietnamese, because I want my parents to read it. My parents don't know any English, and I like them to read it.
Well, there are things in this book that are obviously very painful, and you know, as you said, there's a lot of different kinds of trauma in the book and in the country's history. Was there one part of the book more than any other that was the most difficult for you to write?
It was difficult to write about the Great Hunger of 1945 because I lost 3 family members in the Great Hunger.
And tell our listeners just very briefly what the Great Hunger was, in case they don't know.
The Great Hunger is a devastating consequence of World War II. So it took place, it happened during, you know, in 1945, when 2 million Vietnamese died under the, you know, the rule of the French and the Japanese. Okay. So we lost, you know, in my father's village, there were so many people died. There were families who were wiped out. So my grandma died together with her younger son and her brother. And we did not find their graves until many years later, because, you know, the village was like emptied of people who could move or who could do things. So, you know, the man who buried them could not remember where he had buried them. So it took us many, many years, thanks to a fortune teller, that we could find the grave. Anyway, so my father told me horrific stories about the land before, the Great Hunger, but so little has written about it that I did a lot of research, I interviewed a lot of people, and I rewrote the scenes of my grandma's death in the great in the book, where she was tied in onto corn plants. So in reality, is that my grandmother was tied into the corn plant because her children were so hungry that she ventured into a cornfield and steal the corn for her starving children. So the guard of the field caught her and tied her onto the corn plant, and she was too weak to break away. It was really painful to write about that, and it was also very painful to write about the land reform, because my grandpa, my mother's father, was killed because of the land reform.
And tell us briefly what the land reform was.
The land reform is a campaign to take away land from the landowners and distribute it to landless farmers. Okay. So it was a policy that was implemented first in China and was adopted in Vietnam, but it went too far and it drove, you know, family members against each other, community, you know, villages against each other. So there were a lot of wrongdoings there. So, I mean, just the, you know, how people, treated the others during that time is really horrible. And, you know, as I wrote those scenes, you know, it was very vivid to me how it had happened to those I know or to family members of my friends and my relatives. So it was really painful.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is the writer, Wen Phan Quay Mai. We only have about a minute or a minute and a half left, but I wanted Quay Mai to make sure to squeeze in this one question of, you mentioned that you're working on a second novel now. That's exciting. So tell us briefly in about a minute or so what this novel is going to be about and how you're approaching it.
This novel is about children of American soldiers and Vietnamese bar girls who were born and abandoned during the Vietnam War. So in my role as a journalist, I helped some of them find each other because there were around 100,000 mixed children born into the war. And they are the forgotten victims of, you know, of history. And believe it or not, recently, some of them who were allowed to settle in the US were sent back to Vietnam. So you know, a lot of them feel they don't have a home. And I wanted to honor the experiences with this book. My book also is written in three voices. One of them is a so I won't tell you much more. You have to wait and read it.
Well, I think I know I'm going to be looking for it, and I think a lot of our listeners are too. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. That was Wen Phan Quay Mai, and again, the title of her book that is out, it's available in hardback, and it's coming out very soon in paperback, is The Mountains Sing, and I extremely highly recommend it. Quay Mai, I want to thank you again for talking with me, and we haven't talked about COVID. We left that out there, and that's fine, but in that, though, I do want to wish good health to you and your family.
Thank you so much, Grant, for having me on the show. And I want to send my thanks to all those who are listening to the conversation today. Thank you very much. Take good care, and I hope to see you in person one day.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Mark Lepionier. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.